And I appreciate you, Pastor. Appreciate this church. Been a few years since I've been able to be over, come over and be with you, but been over here a few times and enjoyed it every time. Appreciate the faithfulness of the man of God here. And boy, we are seeing a lack of that in these days. But I'm glad there's still some men that'll stand and be faithful and stick it out. Amen. Appreciate God. If you want to stand tonight, let you rest in your seats just a moment. Genesis 45. I appreciate what the pastor said just a few moments ago. This morning I was trying to find the mind of God for the message this evening. And God spoke to my heart about this passage of Scripture. And I want to primarily deal with it to the young people tonight. I believe it'll be for all of us, but especially the young people. I'm convinced that, now this brother gave a great testimony. His testimony is very unusual for a man to get on up in age and get saved like that. God can do it, and thank God for it. But I'm convinced that most people, by the time they're mid-40s, they pretty much set the course of their life. So tonight, if you're not there yet and that course is not right, God's given you that opportunity. Now, He'll save no matter what age. Thank the Lord for that. But statistically, if you look at that, it doesn't happen that way often. So you're in a good place tonight. Genesis chapter 45, let's begin a reading in verse 17. We'll read down through verse 28 and then ask the Lord to help us tonight. Verse 17, the Bible said, "And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, Say unto thy brethren, This do ye, lay your beast and go get you into the land of Canaan. Take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now thou art commanded, this do ye. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones and for your wives, and bring your father and come. Also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. And the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. And to all them he gave each man changes of raiment, but to Benjamin he gave 300 pieces of silver and 5 changes of raiment. And to his father he sent after this manner, 10 asses laden with the good things of Egypt, and 10 she-asses laden with the corn and bread and meat for his father by the way." Now I want you to pay close attention to verse 24 tonight. Verse 24 says, "So he sent his brethren away, and they departed, and he said unto them, See that you fall not out by the way." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank you, Lord, for what you've done already in this service. Lord, I thank you for the privilege of allowing us to be here tonight. God, for your presence, it's in our midst, and I pray that you would do in the remainder of this service tonight, Lord, what only you can do. I pray you'd touch hearts and open eyes and change lives. And Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You can be seated. Thank God for the reading of His Word. Now, in our text tonight, we find that the sons of Israel, and Joseph, of course, has left the house back in chapter 37 to go check on his brethren. You know the story tonight. If you're a student of the Bible, you know that his brethren take him, and he's cast into a pit. He's taken out of the pit, sold into slavery in Egypt, and it seems as if his life is spiraling down out of control, when in all reality, his life was in control. In control of the hand of God. And God takes Joseph and sets him up there, second in command of this great nation for the time that we're reading about tonight. Now, the land of Canaan, where the Israelites are at, they are in famine and they're starving. And his brethren have already come down once and they come back again. And now Joseph in chapter 45 reveals himself unto his brothers. And there's a great great joy that takes place here in the early verses of this chapter. So now Joseph is sending his brethren back to Jacob, back to Israel, and wanting them to get him and those that are with him and bring them down together into Egypt where they can enjoy the rest of their life together. Now, as he gives them the commands of what he wants them to do, in verse 24, he makes this statement. He said, "See that you fall not out by the way." Now, they're going on a journey to go back to Canaan land, to where Jacob is, to gather up all those souls that are there and then come back down to Egypt to live in the presence of Joseph. And Joseph is a type of Christ, probably the greatest Old Testament type in the Word of God. And he's a type of Christ. And now he's bringing his brethren into himself and bringing his father down. And they're going to live happily ever after and enjoy the good blessings that God has put around Joseph. But I want you to notice tonight as Joseph tells them this statement that you fall, see that you fall not out by the way, there's a possibility that is alluded to here. The possibility is as they began to travel back to Canaan and lay hold of those family members and bring them back down, there's a possibility of them turning or falling out by the way. Now here's my thought I want to give to you tonight. Here's the thought of the message. The responsibility of remaining. The responsibility of remaining in the place or in the path, if you will, that God has put you in. There's already been some things said tonight about the young people, and I thank God for the young people in our churches, and I know you've got some good young people. We've got some good young people, but I'm getting tired of seeing young people fall by the way. I'm getting discouraged of seeing young people that are raised in godly homes and sit on pews of good churches and hear preaching and good singing and get good revival services. And then they get a little older, and sometimes even before they get married or they get married, and then they fall out on the way and they fall by the wayside and they don't continue into the good, greater things that God has got for them and into Christian maturity. And I want us to notice tonight some things that were provided here in this text. And we're going to see what our heavenly Joseph, the Lord Jesus Christ, has given you and I tonight to keep us from falling out by the way. We don't have to do that. And I want to remind you tonight that salvation is free. And it's the grace of God that saves us. It's plus or minus nothing, amen? Our works cannot save us, not works of righteousness which we have done. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It, even the faith itself, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation tonight is all in the Lord, and of course there's repentance, there's conviction and repentance and a turning from that sin, but salvation is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to remind you tonight that our walk with God, our sanctification, not positionally but practically, our life and how that we continue in the faith and our maturity hinges much on what we are going to do with what God has already given us. How many times have you or someone else well-meaning said, well, you know, it's just the grace of God, and it is the grace of God. I'm not taking away from that tonight. But what I'm trying to say to you is God has been gracious to us, but God has expected after we get saved to get our life in order with what He wants our life to be. God's grace is not going to override your will to live worldly and ungodly and to get out here and make shipwreck in your life. Now, I'm glad our souls are kept eternally by the power of God, but you can lose your testimony. You can lose your health tonight. You can lose the good things that God's given you if you don't remain where God has put you. And I want to say to you tonight, God has given you what you need to remain. All we need to do is exercise it. All we've got to do tonight is just put into practice what God has given us as His children, and we can stay right, and we can finish our course, and we can have a good life in the Lord Jesus Christ and go to heaven pleasing God. Amen? And that's my heart tonight, especially for the young people. I pray tonight God would empower you and give you a touch in such a way that in your heart you will settle it. If you've not settled it tonight, you will settle it this evening that you're going to stay with God by His mercy and grace. You're going to follow Him and obey Him until Jesus comes to take you home or until we're called out. Amen. That's what we need in these days. I want to give you three things tonight that we find in our text. Now, beginning in verse 17, look at the pathway that is given to them. If you'll notice in verse number 17, the Bible lets us know there's a distance that they're going to have to travel. He said, and Pharaoh said unto Joseph, say unto thy brethren, this do you, lade your beast and go and get you into the land of Canaan. Now, the best that I can determine from looking at Bible maps and one thing and another, it looks like they're about a 10-day journey by donkey, 10-day journey back to Canaan land. So there's a distance. There's a possibility that I've already mentioned to you. They're excited. They're joyful. Joseph has revealed himself to them. Joseph has revealed that he's not going to kill them, amen, for the wickedness that they had done. Boy, that's much like what happens when we get saved. We come under that condemnation, that conviction of our sin, and I still believe that it has to be there, amen? And that conviction and the law of God, the schoolmaster, brings us to that point where we realize we're wretched sinners and we deserve to be cast into the flames of hell. And then God, in mercy and grace, saves us when we call upon His name and lifts us up out of the miry clay and sets us upon a rock and establishes our going, and we're just excited about being in the family of God. Boy, that's wonderful. But what'll happen in a little while on your journey, if you're not careful, you'll begin to get cold. You'll begin to get distant. You'll begin to go away from the things of God because of that flesh, like the pastor was talking about tonight. And you'll begin to feed that flesh. And the next thing you know, if you're not careful, you're not going to remain where God wants you to remain tonight. And there's a responsibility given here. Now we see there's a distance, and all of us have a distance tonight to go. We don't know how long it's going to be. I don't know how long God's going to leave me here. I'd like to get another 45 years like the previous 45 I've lived, but I may not get it, amen? I may not have another year. I don't know what God's will is. But we've all got a distance, some longer and some shorter. And they had a distance to get back to Canaan land. And in that span, in that distance of going there and coming back, there was a possibility of falling out by the wayside. And you and I need to be reminded tonight that possibility's there. If we don't stay with this Bible and with God's people and with the local church and with the Spirit of God in these days, then it's very likely that you're going to be a statistic. Preacher, I don't know if you remember this when you were at the wedding there last month, but Brother Ackley prayed as Scott and Miss Katie got married. And you said something, brother, that shook me there. Just a simple phrase in that prayer. As he was praying over them, he said this. He said, Lord, help them to be a standard, not a statistic. Amen. And that gripped my heart. And I thought to myself right there, I prayed to myself, Lord, I don't want to be a statistic. Amen. Way too many statistics in this day. Way too many faces of people that we knew that used to serve God and used to be in the way and used to walk with God and stand behind the pulpit and sing in the choir and shout in the pew and pray in the prayer room. And no longer tonight are they in the way. Why? They failed to remain in that place that God had put them. So you see, there's a distance, and that ought to sober us tonight about the possibility. Not only is there a distance in the pathway, but there's a difficulty. If you look at where they were headed from Egypt to Canaan land. And there's a pretty good-sized desert between them and where they're going. That desert is called the Wilderness of Shur in your Bible. You'll see it in the Bible map there. And if you look in the back of your Bible, you'll see that where they were going to go. There's a wilderness they're going to have to go through. And you and I tonight, I don't have to remind you of this, but I will, that we are living in a wilderness. We're living in a sin-cursed world that is anti-God and anti-Bible and anti-home and anti-righteousness tonight. And we've got to travel through that wilderness and get to where we're going. And I'm glad tonight, again, spiritually, we're eternally kept by God. I'm thankful that nothing I can or cannot do is going to determine where I'm going to end up because I'm saved tonight. I'm glad that I'm saved and kept by God's power, and no man can pluck me out of His hand. But I do want to finish well. Amen. My pastor used to say this. He equated the Christian life with flying on an airplane. And he said, you can go coach or you can go first class if you want to. Amen. He said, I want to go first class. And I'm telling you tonight, I want to go first class. I want you to go first class. I want you to get everything God's got for you on this journey. How are we going to do that tonight? We're only going to do that if you remain and take on the responsibility of remaining where God has put you. You see, there's a difficulty. You see, there's a desert. There's a lot of things could have happened in this desert. There are a lot of pitfalls. There are a lot of dangers. There's a lot of sidesteps. There's a lot of detours. There are many things in that desert that could have kept them from getting to their place. And Joseph knew that. He had been through there before. He knew what that was like. And can I tell you, God knows the end of from the beginning tonight. And our Savior knows well, much more than we do, what's out there to try to trip us up and get us out of the way. And that's why He's saying to us tonight, lay hold of that responsibility of remaining in the things of God and remaining in a walk and a fellowship with Christ as we ought to. You see, there's a distance, there's a difficulty. I got to hurry. Look at this. In verse 18, there's a duty that is mentioned here. He said, and take your father and your households and come unto me, and I will give you the good of the land of Egypt, and ye shall eat the fat of the land. Now, Pharaoh's telling Joseph to relay this to his brethren before they go back. Now, they've got a responsibility, and that responsibility involves others. And I want to remind you tonight, I know our flesh, Pastor's already mentioned this, our flesh is totally opposite to the Spirit. Our flesh wants to take care of number one. Our flesh wants to please itself and feed itself and pamper itself and be good to itself. But the Spirit nature in us wants us to serve. And we serve God by serving others. And one thing I found out, I've not done real well at it, but one thing I found out in my life is when I'm serving others, then I'm in a safe place. When I'm giving to others and I'm exercising what God has put in my life to be a blessing to somebody else, then I'm usually in those times, I'm in the safe place because I'm not worried about self. And you see what Pharaoh is telling them, and Joseph is going to relay to them, that on this pathway you're going to get a job done. He's sending them for a reason. That's to get the rest of those of the household of Jacob and bring them back. And I want to remind you tonight, God did not put us in this world and save us just to wander around. God did not put you in this church just to come in and out and do what you want to do. God put us where He put us because He has a plan and He has a purpose and He has a work for us tonight. You don't have to be just a pastor to have a job to do. You don't have to be a deacon or a Sunday school teacher to have a job to do. If you're saved tonight, God has a duty for you. He has work for you to do. And that work is going to be investing your life into the lives of others along the journey. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, the flesh hates it, but the Spirit loves it tonight. The flesh resists against it and the flesh fights it. But that inner man, if you're saved tonight, you love it when God takes you and lets you be a part of helping somebody else on the journey. You see, Joseph had a family and his brethren had a family and they were in famine. They were in starvation and he needed to get them down to the land of corn. He needed to get them down to Egypt here where he could bless them. And he, if you read back in the previous verses, he wanted to feed them and he wanted to fellowship with them and he wanted to fix them up in the land of Goshen and give them a place where they could live out the remainder of their days in the midst of the blessings of God. Amen. And I'm glad tonight that God wants to use us in this world to be a help to somebody else. Now let's look at the pathway a little bit more. We see there's a distance. There's that possibility. There's the difficulty of it being a desert place. There's a duty. There's a job to do tonight. But then I see a demand in verse number 19. Look with me in verse 19 if you would. He said, now thou art commanded. He said, this do you. Take your wagons out of the land of Egypt for your little ones, for your wives, and bring your father and come. There's a command given here. This is not a suggestion. This is, he's not looking at Joseph and Joseph looking at those brethren and saying, hey, boys, if you feel like it, I need you when you get a chance. You know, do we do our children that way? No, no. I don't look at my boy. If I did, I'd be in a mess. Look at my boys. Now, boys, when you get the feeling like it, I need you to mow the yard. Boys, when you feel like it, I need you to split that wood. It never would get done because they don't feel like it. Amen. And God doesn't come to us and say, now when you feel like it, I need you to serve me. And when you feel like it, I need you to get into the harness where I've got you. No, God gives us that command to walk with you. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me. I'm meek and lowly. Amen. And when you take that yoke upon you, that's where you find rest for your soul. And you're in the pathway remaining where God would have you to be. So you see tonight, there's a pathway. Every one of us here tonight, every young person here, now you got a path. You said, preacher, I don't know what my path is. You may not know, but God knows. And I'm going to tell you one thing tonight. Number one, that path is to be born again. And if you're born again tonight, number two, that path is to be in this local church, faithful, amen. Hey, some things we don't have to pray about. It's been a long, long time since I've ever thought a question about whether I'm going to church or not. Amen. That's way back many years. You got to get beyond that. Amen. It's not a question of do I read my Bible or not. It's not a question of do I pray or not. Amen. You got to get in that pathway and give your life to what God wants you to do. We see there's a pathway. Now look at this. Boy, this gets good right here. In verse number 21, we begin to look at the provision that Joseph, the type of Christ, is going to give to his brethren so that they fall not out by the way. Now, he's going to give them everything they need. And can I remind you tonight, God's going to give you everything you need. He's going to give me everything I need. If we fall by the wayside, we cannot blame the provisional hand of God. We cannot blame the church. It amazes me how many times people will kick out and they'll blame the preacher, or they'll blame the deacons, or they'll blame the church family. Listen, you can't put your finger on the church tonight, amen? Hey, you're messing with God's bride. I know there's some people sometimes that get sideways in the church, but it's already been said, I believe the pastor said it tonight, if you're not where you ought to be, if you get out, it's nobody's fault but yours, amen? You can't blame it, sir. You can't blame your wife for your lack of spirituality. And ma'am, you can't blame your husband for your lack of spirituality. And young people, I realize the home is important, but you cannot blame your parents even if they're not spiritual. If you're saved tonight, you have an open door relationship with God to walk with Him. Well, I wish I could tell you tonight, and I'm not going to do it because I wouldn't embarrass Brother Tim, but I wish I could go down about 20 minutes and tell you what he and his brother have been through in the past 2 or 3 years. I'm just going to tell you this. If most older Christians had been through what they've been through, they'd have quit a long time ago. But they've been faithful. You know why they've been faithful? Not because they're better than anybody else, but because God gave them some provision one day when they got saved, and they've got enough sense to use the provision and get where they need to be and stay in the way that God's put them. Amen. And that's what we're going to have to do tonight. Let's look at this provision here. Four things I want to give you on the provision. First of all, look at their strength. Now, they've got at least a 10-day journey, if my figures are right. They've got a 10-day journey to get back and then a 10-day journey to come down. They're going to need some strength. Now, they could walk it, but it's going to be tough. But look what happens. Look how Joseph begins to supply that provision. In verse number 21, and the children of Israel did so, and Joseph gave them wagons. Look at those wagons, according to the commandment of Pharaoh, and gave them provision for the way. Now, when I look at these wagons tonight, I see strength. And I see these wagons as a type of the Holy Spirit of God. Do you know when we get saved, one of the greatest truths of the New Testament believer, when we get saved, we get indwelled by the Holy Spirit of God. The Old Testament believers didn't have that. The Spirit of God moved on them for certain times and things, but that indwelling of the Spirit has been for the New Testament since the day of Pentecost. And we have the empowering of the Holy Ghost of God. And He's our strength, amen. It's not a it, it's a He, the person, the Holy Ghost. He's our strength tonight. He's the one to give us that power that we need. He's the one to give us that unction to go through this life and to be what God would have us to be. And Joseph knew that along the way, if they didn't have a power that was greater than their own power, that they very well may fall out by the way. Boy, I'm glad tonight there's a greater power in me than who I am. I'm glad tonight there's a greater power than my mind. My mind's not strong. My flesh is weak, amen. But the Spirit of God, the person of the Holy Ghost that lives in my heart tonight, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world, amen. If you're saved tonight, you've been empowered, amen, to get on the road and stay on the journey and get to that finish mark that God's placed in your life. 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul said it like this. He said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. Now, did Paul say, I, because of himself? No. He said that because of God in his life. What he's saying is, hey, God has done this for me. God has given me this power. I utilize that power, and therefore I'm able to run and stick my head up under Nero's chop block and die with joy in my heart because I did what God told me to do. Amen. Young person, you want to live right and you want to die right, you're going to have to stay in the way. You're going to have to remain and take on that responsibility to remain where God has put you.
Now quickly look at this. You see their strength in the wagon, the type of the Spirit. Then here's something else. Boy, God laid this on my heart today, and I hope I can get it across to you like the Lord gave it to me. But I'm telling you, this blessed my soul. In verse 22, he gave them something else. He gave them raiment. And this raiment to me is a picture of shade. And you say, what do they need shade for, preacher? What, the raiment, what's the importance of that? Well, if you look where they're at, they're in a harsh environment. And they're going through a harsh environment. And Joseph knew they were going to need a covering as they traveled through that environment. And when you look at that shade this morning or this evening and you look at that raiment, you know what that talks to me of, what it speaks to my heart about? It speaks to my heart of the sanctuary of the local church. Amen. I'm telling you, looking pastor tonight, I believe local church. Amen. I do not have time for anything outside of the local church. I've had people say to me, why don't you join this club and join this and do that? I don't have time. I'm busy as can be just working in the local church. Amen. And I'm glad tonight that every good thing God has done in my life, he's done it through the church. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, one of the safest things, one of the greatest things you can do in your life is get in that Bible-believing church that God's put you in and anchor down and stay in that sanctuary. And when the storms of life blow and the sands of the desert beat against you and the heat of the sun gets on you, you can find that shade in the sanctuary. You can find that shade among the people of God that God's put in your life. You know, I can't tell you how many times I've come to the house of God, preacher, about ready to quit. I've come to the house of God just thinking it's not worth it. And this, even before I started preaching, I can remember times. I was 32 years old before I surrendered to preach. I got saved at 18, so I lived several years just sitting on a church pew. And I can remember coming to the house of God. I can remember discouraged and downhearted. And boy, when I left the service that morning or that evening, God had did a work in my heart. God had blessed me. God had filled me up. Where did he do that? He did that down at the house of God. Amen. He did that in the sanctuary. That was my shade place. That was my covering. Amen. That was my raiment that he gave me along the way where I could get under and avoid all the heartaches of the outside world that would throw on me. I'm glad tonight. Listen, young person, I'm telling you, the best thing you can do in your life if you're saved is anchor down in this church and stay there and stay no matter what comes your way, no matter what kind of trouble happens. You just nail your spiritual feet down in the house of God. When it's high, stay there. When it's low, stay there. When it seems like everything's going good, stay there. When it seems like everything's not, just anchor down and stay there, and God will bless you down at the house of God. Amen. I'm reminded of Elijah. When Elijah was hid there by the brook Cherith, God told him this. He said, I'll meet you there. And you've got a there tonight. And I'm telling you, we've got a big problem now among our Baptist churches of people getting mad at the preacher and going down the road. Problem is, your mail's still coming there. Amen. Problem is, God's still wanting to meet with you there. You get out of the will of God, and God is not obligated to meet you there. Amen. It may be a good church, but it's not your there. Amen. You got to get to the there. If Elijah hadn't went to where God told him to go, he would have starved to death. Amen. You better find your there and get there. Amen. Let's look at this. Got to hurry. We see the shade. Now look at this. We see the silver. This is interesting. This silver was given to Benjamin. It's 300 pieces of silver according to verse number 22. I was thinking about that. Silver in the Bible, in the Old Testament especially, it is a type of redemption. When you look at this silver, I think about service tonight. I think about being redeemed and being redeemed to serve. God saved us to serve. God didn't save us just to go to heaven. God didn't save us just to miss hell. Now that's tremendous benefits, but that's not the only reason God saved us. He saved us to serve, and he saved us to fellowship with him. And when that silver that was given to them, as they were on the journey, I'm sure they did. I know I would have, preacher. I'm sure along the journey, maybe Benjamin pulled that silver out and got to looking at them 300 pieces of silver and got to thinking about that silver. And that silver mentioned to him or represented something to him. It represented the fact that Joseph, a type of Christ, had given it to him. And it was a picture of that redemption. But it's also a picture of this, that we're bought with a price and we're not of our own. And we need to be reminded of that this evening. We are bought with a price, amen. The precious blood of the Lamb. And I don't have the privilege tonight to go the way I want to. I don't have the opportunity. I can do it in my flesh. But in the will of God for my life, I don't have that privilege tonight to run my own course and to sail my own vessel and to do what I want to do. Sometimes my flesh wants to, just like yours. There's times where my flesh wants to get carnal or be carnal. Flesh is always carnal, but there's sometimes that I want to be carnal just like anybody else does. But I'm glad I'm reminded that I'm bought with a price. And I'm glad the Spirit of God reminds me of when Jesus saved me and put me on this journey. And it shakes me spiritually to get back in that path and remain where God has put me. Look at this. One more thing and we'll move on tonight. Look at this. I see sustenance here. In verse 23, look at this. And to his father he sent after this manner. 10 asses laden with good things of Egypt. 10 she asses laden with corn and bread and meat for his father. By the way, do you know what this is? This is the sustenance they're going to need. This is the food they're going to need. This is that provision, that meat, if you will, along the journey. You say, boy, preacher, I wish we had some meat along the journey. Oh, we've got more than we'll ever digest. Amen. We've got more than we'll ever lay hold on. We've got a complete Bible tonight. Amen. It does not need to be corrected. It does not need to be changed. It does not need to be altered. It just needs to be read more. Amen. It needs to be followed. It needs to be digested. I'm glad that along the journey when I get weary and I get tired and I get a little despondent and I don't know what to do, I can get into God's Word and I can start reading His Word and I may start out and it be cold to me because of my carnality, but I can read a little while and all of a sudden it'll begin to come alive in me and the Spirit of God will speak to me through this book, my sustenance, and God will begin to feed my soul and change my life. I can listen to a message from another preacher. I can listen to a good Sunday school teacher expound on the Word of God, and God begin to turn that over in my soul and feed me and keep me right where I need to be on my journey. Amen. I'm telling you, it's our responsibility. Now, God's given us everything we need. He's given us the indwelling of the Spirit. He's given us a perfect Bible. He's given us the local church. We have every provision we need tonight that we fall not out by the way. Amen? Let me give you this one last thought here, and I'm done this evening. We've seen the pathway and the possibilities of it. We've seen the provision. All that provision was given by Joseph. Matter of fact, he tells them back in verse 20, he said, also regard not your stuff, for the good of all the land of Egypt is yours. You don't need your old stuff. Boy, there's a message right there, amen. Our old stuff's killing us, amen. That old stuff we're dragging around, that, as Brother Tim mentioned, that old music and that old lifestyle. I was thinking about this, getting ready to come this evening. Your forecast in your life is going to be determined by the friends you hang around with, amen. Where you're going to end up is going to be determined around the crowd that you put yourself in. And I'm telling you tonight, if you'll get in that path that God wants you to be, and if you'll remain there, then you've got a good forecast coming down the road. Amen? Let's look at this, and I'll wind this up tonight. Look at their power. When you get into verse number 24 now, we see that it happens. They don't fall out, by the way. They don't quit. They don't kick out of the traces. And look what happens. In verse 24, I see some movement here. The Bible said, so he sent his brethren away, and they departed. And he said unto them, see that you fall not out by the way. Look at verse 25. And they went up out of Egypt and came to the land of Canaan unto Jacob their father. Do you see what happened? They saw the pathway. He told them about the pathway. They saw the provision. They laid hands on the provision. They put it in the wagons and they harnessed up all the livestock and everything they needed. And then you know what they simply did, Pastor? They simply moved at the command of Joseph. They simply, by faith, said, okay, this is what we're going to do. Can I tell you tonight, one of the greatest things we'll ever learn in our life is just a step-by-step of faith. Being a great Christian doesn't happen overnight. And being a great Christian is not one big leap. I'm going to tell you what the great indicator of spirituality is. It's consistency, amen? You may shout on the mountaintop tonight and be in the pit tomorrow, as Tim preached, or Monday, or whatever, living down in the gutters. But I'm telling you, when you live that consistent Christian life, and when you daily walk with God, hey, and the Bible, Proverbs said that good man falls seven times and rises again. Listen, when you just get up and you keep following God and you keep walking by faith and you keep listening to the man of God and you keep putting one foot in front of another, and God tells you to move and you make a move, and God tells you to move and you make a move, and He says move over here and you make a move, and He says move here and you make, you will turn around one day and look back on a life that's remained where God has wanted you to be. Amen. So many times we look for the big lightning and the big thunder when it's just that consistent Christian living that'll get us where we need to be. Amen? See, they had movement. They exercised faith. They didn't sit idle. In verse 26, something else here they had. They had a message. Amen? When these men, these brethren of Joseph, when they left out to go back to Jacob, they had a burning message in their heart. Oh, they may have spurred those donkeys along the way. I don't know. Amen. The Bible doesn't tell us that. But they wanted to get back to Jacob. You know why? They had a message in their heart, preacher. You know what that message was? Joseph is alive. Amen. Joseph is alive. Everything's well. Joseph is sitting on the throne. There's corn in the land. Amen. Can I tell you tonight, there's been some times in my life that I thought I couldn't go on. Oh, but praise God, I had a message in my heart. Amen. I'm glad God birthed the message in me when He saved me. Amen. And I want to tell somebody else that Joseph is real and he's alive. And just carrying the message will get you down the road. Amen. Let me tell you this right quick and I'll finish up. There's a message preached years ago. Pastor, you probably remember it. Message on the Pony Express. Amen. Tremendous message. Not very lengthy. Brother Jack Wood, I believe, is the one that preached that. But he was dealing with some things on the Pony Express. And he made mention of a young man that never did show up on the mail route. And they found him and he was between mail stations and he was dead. And he had that mail clutched under his arm. And he had a six-shot revolver and there were six dead Indians laying around him. Amen. And he pressed through and he fought to the death. You know why? Because he had the message. Amen. It meant everything to him. He was going to die carrying the message. And I'm going to tell you tonight, if you'll carry the message, and I'm not talking about necessarily being a preacher. I'm talking about just witnessing of the grace of God in your life. Just testifying of being saved and being on this wonderful journey with the Lord. If you'll keep a message going, amen, I'm telling you it will help you and give you power along this journey to remain where God wants you to remain, amen. When we quit telling about Jesus, we're headed by the wayside. Then notice this final thing. I'm done tonight. In verse 27, verse 28, there's a ministry here. The Bible said, and they told him all the words of Joseph, which he had said unto them. And when he saw the wagons which Joseph had sent to carry him, and the spirit of Jacob their father revived. See, they were instrumental in bringing revival to their own household. They were instrumental in bringing revival to their father that was discouraged. And Israel, in verse 28, said, "It is enough. Joseph, my son, is yet alive. I will go and see him before I die." Now, because of them remaining where God wanted them to be, because of them taking the responsibility to stay the course, do what God wanted them to do, Joseph wanted them to do, a type of Christ, because of that, now somebody else is getting some help. Because of that, somebody else is revived. Somebody else is, and I'm telling you, what'll fire you up is seeing somebody else get fired up. What'll help you is seeing somebody else get help. What'll get you another step down the road and staying with God is when God uses you in the ministry. I'm talking about the ministry of the local church. I'm not talking about just in the pulpit or the Sunday school room. I'm talking about in the ministry of the body of Christ. Amen. Just to be a blessing to somebody else that will help you remain where God wants you to remain. See, tonight I want to say to you, and especially young people, there's a responsibility to remain. When Joseph told his brethren, he said, "See that you fall not out by the way." Don't get sidetracked. Don't get off over here. Don't try to do it your own way. Definitely don't try to do it the world's way. Take the provision that God has given you, the tried and the true, amen, the old-time way, the King James Bible, the Holy Ghost of God, old-fashioned churches and preaching and praising God, and stay with God. We can go through the wilderness of this sin-cursed world and come out the other side victorious and not alone tonight. If we'll take the responsibility this evening to remain.